Nigeria's economy has been forecasted to grow by 2.9% on an average, with most of the growth coming from contributions of the non-oil sector. What does this represent for the Nigerian citizen? What should Nigerians hope for in 2022 as far as the economy is concerned? These and more on this week's episode of The Insider. I am Kayode Sonny, and I spoke with an economist and public affairs analyst, Dr. Praise Akinwande, who shed light and perspective into these questions. Enjoy. Good day to you, Dr. Praise.
Good afternoon to you.
Yes, good afternoon to you. So the essence of the discussion today is to talk about the economy for 2022. I know 2021 was quite a rough one for Nigeria, despite the government saying that they have tried their best in all. But for you as an economist, let's start from 2021. How would you assess Nigeria's economy? What would be your description? What would be the perfect description for Nigeria's economy in 2021?
You see, the truth of the matter is that looking at the economy, one salient truth, one thing that everybody must be able to come to terms with, which is a reality, is that the economy of the world is bad generally. And somebody asked me a question, can we have a better economy again in the history of mankind? And I said, no. The economy can never go better like it used to be yesteryears. But I told somebody this morning, we were having a conversation on phone, and they said, 2021, we pray we don't have that kind of year again. Because almost everybody who make money genuinely and find it very hard, 2021. And the reason is because 2021 was a post-COVID phenomenon that ravaged the entire world. So 2021 was a year after the pandemic of COVID-19. And so we all know that the economy was so bad in 2020 because of the emergence of COVID-19. So in a way, the effect of COVID-19 is what almost everybody felt last year. And you know why the economy is so bad last year is because when COVID-19 struck in 2020, it caught almost everybody unaware. And it's so bad in Nigeria because in Nigeria, we are so peculiar. We have this peculiarity of too much talk and less action. You know, so a country that is not driven by vision, you know, a country that is not driven by projection, when certain things happen, unprecedented, unexpected, it will definitely demoralize and affect almost every facet of life. So nobody was expecting the emergence of COVID-19 in 2020. It came, and by the time it came when we were not economically prepared. So it caught us unaware. So definitely the effect of COVID-19 is what we saw in 2021. So if I want to say, as an entrepreneur, as somebody who does a personal business, I will tell you that 2021 was not a good time economically at all.
So now that we have projections, for example, IMF said Nigeria's economy is expected to grow by 2.7%. AFDB, Africa Development Bank, said it is expected to grow by 2.9%. So I want to ask, what does this mean when we say the economy grew by a certain percentage? Or what are the things that are expected to happen when we say the economy grew by a certain number?
Yeah, economically, there are two indices to look at the growth of an economy. When you look at it from PI, that is the personal income, and GDP, gross domestic product. You know, these are the two major indices by which you measure him. You know, the economy of a country. Now, the per capita income, as it were, is talking about when you pick average people on the streets, go to a popular area, a busy environment, and you just randomly pick 10 people. And you pick 10 people and you ask them, how much do you make in a month? Are you a salary handler? What's your salary? Are you a business person? What do you make daily? What do you make weekly? What do you make monthly? And so when you now compare the income, all right, of an average person, okay, And so what a person now makes as income in a month divided by 30. So you have what it makes in a day. So when you now look at what the person makes in a day and you now do a comparison with the prevailing price mechanism in the market, you can easily determine per capita income. So if, for example, now a Congo of rice goes for 1,000 naira and a married man hands 30,000 naira every month, okay, and he has a wife, he has 4 children, and he's making 30,000 naira. So automatically that one is poor. Poverty of highest order. So if randomly pick 10 people, and out of your 10 people, you have all the 10 making slightly below 30,000 naira a month, that means that economy in that particular area is declining. There is no economic growth in that place. So now how you now predict economic growth is if the per capita income increases, the gross domestic products increases, the GDP, so you can easily say, okay, this economy is growing. There is no gimmick, there is no magic in it. I can tell you why IMF and the African Development Bank is saying, okay, maybe Nigeria is going to experience a little bit economic growth this year, because this is a political year. It is a political year. So, and because of that, there will be a release of a lot of money that has been headbound somewhere will be released into the economy.
So who are these people holding this money?
You know them now. You want me to begin to mention names? I'm not going to mention names. But you definitely know that every 4-4 year is a political year. So penultimate year to the election year is the electoral year, is the electoral season. And so many politicians, those who want to contest, those who want to return, all manner of aspirants, most especially the incumbents, will store up money to be used for the coming election. And the election is just around the corridor. And so what do we expect? There's going to be a pumping of a lot of money into the economy. Now, the danger is this. There'll be more money in circulation, but this more money will be accessible by selected few. And they will dwarf it all around. Then there is going to be increase in inflation. When you have more money, okay, so there is propensity to spend more. Because more money is coming into the market, more money is released into the economy. And when you put in more money into the economy and you don't take care of every other indices that make up the economy, okay, and they too are surplus, it is only so much money that is in the economy, automatically it's going to result in inflation. My daughter asked me a couple of days ago, and I said, Daddy, but we have Central Bank of Nigeria, and I think one of the things they do is they make money, they manufacture money. I think, why can't Central Bank be manufacturing money for everybody to have? I laughed. I used to think like that when I was younger. But now I grew old and I realized that if you have much money in the market, or you have much money in the economy, it's not going to solve poverty. It will only escalate inflation. You know, and I think it's not that there's any magic that we make our economy grow in that certain percentage by that prediction. One of the determinants is because this year is a political year.
As you are speaking, you made mention of CBN and how money will flow in 2022. But what do you think CBN should do to control this flow of money that we'll begin to see in 2022?
They have always been mopping up cash. That's something we call cash flow. And so when the central bank, being the Bankers Bank, realizes, the hippest bank in Nigeria, realizes that there's too much money in the circulation, the mop. And so what the central bank can do is to mop up and to control inflation. But you see, the money in the hand of politicians are not something you can mop up. It's not what you can mop up.
Why is that so?
Because some of these monies are not in bank. Central bank can only control money that is in the bank. In my office, if I have 10 billion buried in this office, will you know? So can central bank come around and influence it? No. So if I just take, okay, if I'm a politician now, I just take the 200, maybe 1 million, and I want to go to a campaign, or I want to go to one area, I take just put about 100,000 or something, about some 200,000 inside the Ghana Mosque, and I go somewhere and I begin to spread it and I give it out to people. Now, the thing is that I take this money. It's not that I want to give one person or one individual 1 million. No. Politics work in the grassroots. The people who make up the grassroots are hungry, poor, wretched Nigerians who, if you give them 1 Kongo of rice, 2 yards of Ankara, and 2,000, they will call you Babari Babake. These are the group of people that make up the population of those who vote. And so the politicians know how to get them. So when you take 1 Ghana must go of money and you just go somewhere and you begin to distribute 1,000 to 2,000 naira, before you know it, you become a popular man. So it's not one big money given to one person. It's one big money that is distributed to 5,000 people. So how will central bank mop that kind of money?
Let's go back a while. Where do you think Nigeria stands currently economically? As of today, where do you think Nigeria stands economically?
You see, Nigeria is not doing fine at all. It's not doing well at all. And let me tell you, the best way in any working economy, asking to know if an economy is really doing well, to know if an economy is really doing fine, the best way to do it is that call a common businessman on the road and ask the person, how is business? You ask the person, how is business? You just came into my office now. Since morning, we resumed here. How many staff do we have here? I just have to ask some people to go home. They beg and go, oh God, don't take our job. Okay, how do you want me to pay your salary? You will leave home, tell everybody you are going to work. At the end of the day, there is no business. Sometimes you come to the office, you sit down from morning to evening, no single client will come and say, what are you doing there to patronize you?
So what do you think has caused this? Or what is causing this slow rate?
Lack of preparedness.
On whose part now? On whose part?
The government. Last year, I sent one government agent who said they are coming to collect money for signpost. I sent him away out of this office. I said, come, my signpost, come and remove it. I don't need it. I said, a government that want to collect different kind of taxes from me, give enabling environment for business. You are not giving enabling environment for business. You want to collect my money. That's not how it's done. It's not done that way. Why we have so many Nigerians cutting corner is because there is no enabling business environment. Go to bank. As a businessman, say you want to take a loan. If you successfully get a loan from the bank to execute any project, it is the bank that you will serve all your life.
What do you think the government needs to do to create an enabling environment for people or for businesses to thrive as they ought to?
It's very simple. Myself and one of my colleagues in the office yesterday were talking about, and because this is a recorded program, I'm not going to mention a particular company that came out so big last year with a product. Came out so big, did billboards all over the city. And I was asking, I said, where is that company now? It's dead. The owner came to Nigeria from abroad to do an investment. The business is nearly collapsed now. Why? Because the first way the government can give an enabling environment for businesses is through their policies.
Okay.
Through policies, encourage indigenous company to survive. Encourage indigenous company to grow.
So in practical terms, how are we going to do that to encourage indigenous companies to grow?
Yoruba so we pay eja leja man jesara.
Okay.
You know, I'm going to say this in two ways. Governments, as it were, don't really have 100% blame. But I will say, I'm going to blame the 90%. I'm the head of a family. If my daughter comes around and say, daddy, this is good for this family, or if I take any decision and she's contending with my decision, coming up with another thing and say, daddy, this one is good for this family, I would be stupid to dance to the tune of my daughter if I know it's not going to all go well with our family. Now, if the government come up with a policy and some people from a quarter is now shouting and say, hey, government wants to kill us. Now, if you look at it, if this is good for your country, you turn a deaf ear. The other time the government shut borders, some Nigerians were shouting. If you know that shutting borders, not allowing some product to come into the country, will definitely help local investors and local goods to survive, to grow up, why do we have to listen? Why? You see, the policies of the government is so important to make. Let me tell you one thing you don't understand. Nigeria as a country, that is a country I have lived the better part of my life, is so blessed. I don't see what is in America, honestly. I don't see what is in Britain. I don't see it. What this country has, America does not have it.
So then why are we still like
this? It's the people need. Bring America to Nigeria. Nigeria will become America in 10 years. Take Nigerians to America. America will become Nigeria in 10 years. It's the people. I'm telling you.
Then what can we do to effect change in people?
My brother, that's going to be a very difficult question to answer. Because even me, that I'm even talking to you, I'm looking for what I will chop. I'm looking for what I'm going to chop. The system is so bad, it's so collapsed, that even if you want to appear to be a saint, you realize that your sainthood can never see the light of the day anywhere you find yourself. So the next thing you are going to do is that you keep quiet. If you don't want to join them, you keep quiet. If you talk too much, they will assassinate you. They will just execute you. I have seen a friend that was posted somewhere in an office. The people in the office called him and said, they tell us that the New Yorker, where you have the, you know they collect bribe. You know they do embezzlement. You know they do wuru here. Please, this is the game plan. Tell the people that brought you to take you back, or else your children will become fatherless. They told him to his face, your children will become fatherless. They will kill him.
Which also raises the question of corruption. As it is now, Nigeria is still battling with corruption at the moment.
It's our virus we are battling with.
So what have we done to clear this virus?
I don't know.
because
husband and wife, there is corruption. Somebody was telling me, a friend was telling me something on Sunday. I was mooning, He told me, he said, even church, board of trustees of church are stealing from church accounts.
But they want to ask something. Why is it that we have looked at this virus that has eaten up Nigeria for so long?
Let me tell you what is going to eliminate corruption in this country. Two things that can eliminate corruption in this country. Number one, let there be law in this country that whosoever steals public money dies immediately. See, corruption is evil. He doesn't listen to
reasoning.
He doesn't listen to negotiation. Are you hearing me? What corruption listens to is back to back violence. The only solution to evil is violence. I've said it on here several times. You don't call people who are evil and say, let's sit around table and begin to negotiate. No, you fight. It's fights. Everybody will sit up.
Capital punishment.
Then secondly, I said it on radio on Sunday, bridge the gap. If you go abroad, a poor man will ride the same car that a big man will ride. That is no big deal. If you see the house that Bill Gates is living in America, it's a rented apartment. Value. A rented apartment. He does not have a house of his own. All his money is committed to charity. Value. See, until we are able to bridge this gap between somebody is rich and somebody is poor, and you know that the only difference between a rich man and a poor man is little naira, then a poor man will not see himself as being disadvantaged. I said, I want to ride that car by all means. I want to live in that house by all means. I want to be like that man by all means. So he now begins to look at crooked ways to do it. If those two things can be done, I'm telling you, EFCC, I can say it anywhere, is not the solution to end corruption in Nigeria. If EFCC will do it, Obasanjo created EFCC more than 16 years ago, there's still corruption. Inside EFCC, there is corruption.
Away from the corruption issue now, it's this issue of oil, our oil. It's looking more like oil is the only thing that we have, whereas we have other resources, most especially human resources. We have Nigerians who are well-to-do, who are creative, who are doing well in all spheres of life. We have other sectors, our mineral resources. It's still dilapidated. We don't have enough attention on that. And it's looking like oil. And as it is now, the value of oil seems to be dropping. So the question is that we still have policies that are not helping. Like you said, we still have some policies that are not helping indigenous business to grow. Now, on the part of citizens, what do you think can be done to also ensure that they are not disadvantaged? Since we have looked on the side of government, what can we do looking at the side of the citizens?
You see, where we found ourselves, the government pushed us into it, unfortunately. Oil boom in 1979, when oil was discovered in Holoibiri, you know, and in Delta State. Oil boom, and then prosperity came into Nigeria. Our attention shifted from every other source of wealth in Nigeria, and we concentrated on oil because oil came almost at the climax of industrial revolution, when the only source of energy at that time was crude oil. Now, when oil was discovered, so during that industrial revolution period and the whole, we shifted our attention. And it is the government. And I can tell you, by the time oil was first discovered in Nigeria, it was boom. Because it was easy. You know, the process of planting a cocoa tree, before a cocoa tree is going to get to maturity, before you start plucking your cocoa seed, you know, before you harvest, it goes through a lot of processes. Even all these mineral resources you are talking about, you have to dig, you have to... But crude oil is very, very easy. It's like you are just taking water out of the ground. The process of converting crude oil into money is easier than every other thing. So they left every other things. Instead of the government to allow us to continue to push every wet flow of the country, we concentrated on oil, not thinking that a time is going to come when this thing is going to lose the value. It has lost the value now, but OT doom everybody lenu. Almost everybody is used to this cheap way of making money. Now, what are we going to do? It is the prevalence economic situation that is teaching everybody what to do, to create wealth. And that's what I'm going to say to every Nigerian: create wealth. Look for what you are going to do. Don't wait until when you get a job. Don't wait until when you finish from the university. Get a skill. What can you contribute yourself? Go and start a business. Go and start a job. It has become so easy now that you don't even need an office. You don't need anything before you can even practice something. But by the time everybody is doing this, everybody is doing this, everybody is doing some, all of us were engaged with one thing or the other, it's going to attract investments. That's just it. It's going to attract investment. It's not interesting that Google has an office in Nigeria. It's not interesting. It's interesting. Okay? Because they realize that there are people in Nigeria who have something upstairs that they can tap. If everybody is not trying to come up and come up with something, then there is no way they will discover us. And if they don't discover us, there is no way they can come around and put in huge investment in the country. When there is huge investment in the company, it will automatically help our economy.
As we were talking before you landed now, you made mention of how the leaders in the past didn't think of the fact that oil could get to a place where it won't be the main thing. Which speaks to me about leaders without vision. And as it is now, it's looking more like we have leaders who are not thinking about way forward. And most especially now that we have our population growth on the increase, most especially because of poverty, because you start having underage children having given birth, and before you know it, population is growing. So what can be done to also encourage visionary leadership? If we can have it at the top, at least for our young minds, what can be done to ensure that we are building a crop of visionary leaders who can anticipate the world or Nigeria in 2 years, who can anticipate problems and tackle that problems as it is?
Yeah, you see, why it's very difficult to have visionary leadership is because governmental power in Nigeria is so rotational. It's like a circle. It's like a recycling. The crop of people that has been in the corridor of power since 1960 in independence are still there, directly or indirectly. These are the people we are looking up. You see, leadership is a ladder. Somebody is a follower who will automatically become a leader. Are you hearing me now? As a follower is looking up to somebody,
And who he's looking up to, that is who he will be. So if he's looking up to visionary leader, he will automatically end up becoming a visionary leader himself. That is the way. That is the logic. That's one side to it. The other side to it is that even the visionary leader, because there is one very cogent aspect of leadership that I don't see that so popular in our leadership system in Nigeria, or let me say in Africa, that is responsibility. A leader should come around and say, I failed. He should admit his failure. He should admit that I make mistakes. But African leaders will not say that. They will not come on television and say, please pardon me, I tried my best, I didn't do well. And encourage others. Encourage upcoming people. Now, where you have failed, tell those who are looking up to you, encourage them to step up into the shoe and tell them, this is where I failed, and stay aside and make sure you monitor them not to fall into the same mistake that you fall into. Now, if you pick somebody into that office of leadership and you are monitoring them not to fail, not to fall into your ditch, there are people behind, below, looking up to them also. They will not notice their failure because you are there to correct them. At the end of the day, by the time those who are looking up to them will go to that position, it's going to be a perfect system. But the one at the ends of Afia now want to die there. So where is the hope? The president of Nigeria now is close to 80. He first ruled this country in his 40s. A 45-year-old man today, can he become the president of Nigeria? Whereby the present president of Nigeria, when he was the head of state, ruled in his 40s. So what are you talking about?
To wrap it all up, since our perspective is on the economy, which also digressed into other factors, because these are the factors that also make decisions for the economy growth. This is 2022, and like I've mentioned, money will start flowing from one hand to one hand because it's a political year.
No, let it flow to me.
And as it is, we'll see a lot of changes. How do you think Nigerians should raise up for what's coming in 2022?
I'm going to say, probably I'm going to mention three or four things. Number one, every Nigerian should have streams of income. Gone are the days when you are just only a pepper seller and all you just sell is pepper. Even if you go to market now, those who are selling pepper already, they have added grinding machine to it. So as you are buying, they are grinding for you. So you don't need to go somewhere else to grind. That is wisdom. Have multiple sources of income. That is the first thing I'm going to say. Then the second thing I'm going to say, don't be easily bought over. Not for our sake alone, for the sake of our children and the coming generations. Don't be easily bought over. Don't let anybody buy your conscience. Okay? I'm not going to stop anybody from, if you have an opportunity to collect, but at the same time, use your common sense. Now, that is the second thing I'm going to say that we should do. And then the third thing is that economy can only grow when everybody's involved. Okay, when everybody is involved, you must play your own part in growing the economy too. You grow your part in growing the economy. And part of the way you're going to grow the economy is that whatever you are supposed to do, don't withhold your hand from doing it. And so contribute to the growing of the economy. I'm going to give you an example. In an environment or in a neighborhood, for example, where probably the road is bad or your bridge is almost collapsed, you don't wait until when government comes. What you just need to do to put it under the PR is less than 50,000 naira. Everybody in that neighborhood can just contribute maybe 500 naira or 1,000 naira in 50 houses. It's done. It's going to accelerate economic growth. But every one of us, we love this I don't care attitude. We watch it until it collapses. And then we're now beginning to call it home. There are little things we can just do that play our role. So you play your role. And finally, we should pray. And it is God that reigns and rules in the affairs of men. And I believe that so much. And I believe that we should just continue to pray. And the part B of that pray, which is another aspect of prayer, is participation. If you pray and you don't participate, nothing's going to be done. So those are the things I can just mention that we should do.
Dr. Praise, I must say it's good to see you and to share your wisdom, to have you share wisdom to this matter. It's so good to have you share wisdom.
It's a pleasure.
I so much appreciate it. Thank you very much for joining on this episode.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining in again this week, and I hope you had a good time. Please ensure to subscribe to this channel from wherever you listen to podcasts. Special thanks to my sound engineer, Tom Lucky Media. I am Kayode Sonny. Until I come your way next time, I say stay lifted.